Okay, we are on page 144 of Sketches from the Life of Paul. Yeah, I get it right this time. So I just double-checked, though. That's why you saw what you saw on the stream there. So Sketches from the Life of Paul, page 144. Yeah, it's a nice number. It's a gross, or, you know, 12 times 12 is a gross. But in reality and prophecy, it's a very good number, 144,000. And so anyway, we're starting here on the second paragraph, which starts with Paul, the word name Paul. And so, okay, yeah, everything's good. Yeah, I was just kind of concerned earlier. Oh, there it goes again. 32, somebody must have sent a PM or something. I got a new thing. I can watch the CPU on the chat room server, just in case. So, all right, so this is what it says. Paul was still eager to defend the truth before the multitude, but he was last deterred by a message of warning from the theater. Several of the most honorable influential among the magistrates sent him an earnest request not to venture into a situation of so great peril. This proof of the regard in which Paul was held by the leading men of Asia was no mean tribute to the sterling integrity of his character. Amen. The tumult at the theater was continually increasing. And it says that some cried one thing and some cried another, and the more part knew not wherefore they had come together, you know. It's just like, I mean, it's like today, like with this Antifa thing. And I saw this with the World Trade Organization, not the World Trade Center, the WTO, back when Clinton was president. I don't even think it was Clinton now that I think about it. I was doing that computer work for that prison ministry back in those days. I don't know if it was Clinton or I think it was, but they had a WTO meeting. It was one of those prophetic type, you know, like World Trade Organization meetings, you know, the one world government thing. And a lot of people were protesting it in New York. And the guy that I was doing the computer work for, he was a minister, but he used to be a mobster, an enforcer. I don't think he ever killed anybody, but he said he did do some pretty violent things to people. He became a Christian, and so he had connections with the FBI because, you know, you're in the mob, you're going to know the FBI. And so he showed me a video, and I couldn't believe it. And now it's the norm. The video he showed me now, no one even, you know, not even an eyebrow raises. And what do I mean? Well, they had a peaceful protest out in front of the WTO, and and the cops were there surrounding them. They were all just standing around the crowd and, you know, folding their arms. Everything was, you know, pretty calm. They were just yelling and, you know, talking about whatever they were talking about, which is a big waste of time. The way people protest back then and even today, do you actually think that's going to change the mind of any politician? No. No, it's so silly. It makes people think, oh, I've done something for my country. No, you ain't. You've done thing one. I mean, it doesn't move. And I'm not saying get violent or anything like that. There's got to be a different way to protest. But who cares now? We're going home soon, so let them do what they want. They're going to do it anyway regardless. So there's no way we're going to be able to change any mindset for that matter. But anyway, the crowd is, you know, up there protesting and whatnot. And then the camera was wide angle, obviously, because you could see this building. It looked to be about a block down. And I don't know, maybe 15, 20 guys came out of the building all dressed in black, and they came into the crowd and turned the crowd, made it look like, because the crowd was calm, gentle. You know, they were protesting, but they weren't tipping over, you know, mailboxes and throwing bricks through windows and starting fires in cars, because that's what these guys did. They just came up and did that for 45 minutes, pushing stuff around, and the people were running up to the cops and it was all on camera. Saying these people aren't with us. They're not with us. They're not part of our group. Stop them. And the cops wouldn't do a thing. And then all of a sudden, 45 minutes later, those guys left, went back into the building because you saw them go back in. The camera was still there. And then they went and arrested all the calm and peaceful protesters and said they did all that. That's what they're doing now. But now they do it in a way where, I don't know if you saw some of the videos I put out there where I had pictures where the government, the left side of our government, actually delivered pallets of bricks in certain areas of Oregon so that when they were planning to do the riots, they would have the tools they needed. It's unbelievable. It's all, you know, it's the end times. And so, see, that's what keeps me from getting all upset about this, because some people say, oh my, it's just disgusting. You know, I want to go in there and just pound my fist on the desk in the Oval Office and start screaming at the press. It's a waste of time. It's the end times. This is supposed to happen. So, you know, do your duty. Go forth and proclaim Christ, Lord. Share it with as many people as you can. And, you know, some are going to listen, some aren't. So anyway, she goes on to say that from the fact, and the reason I went into all that is because, like she just said here, some of the people in the crowd knew what they were yelling about when it came to Paul, but some of them had no idea. They were just going with the crowd. You know, the sheeple thing, the herd mentality. It's kind of like what Hitler based his methods of attack on. I don't remember where the quote was, because I never read any of his books. I just came across some stuff in my research over the years, and I saw him say something to the effect that, you know, like if I see one man who has a morality to him that is rock solid, there's no way I'm going to be able to change that man's mind. But if I put that man in a crowd, in other words, I can't even get that man fearful, but if I put that man in a crowd of people and get that crowd scared, yeah, he's going to run with him. And so that's what you saw with the Antifa stuff. A lot of the people that were involved in those protests, or like the BLM thing, a lot, and the people that actually were part of the original BLM were coming up saying they hijacked it. We weren't this way. We didn't want to do it this way. But there was just too much political power behind it, and so they did what they did. And so it's the same thing that happened 2,000 years ago. It's Satan uses the herd. He'll use the crowd. I mean, look what he did to our Lord, our Savior, our King. You know, remember what that one guy said in Acts chapter 5 in regards to, I don't know if it was Acts 5. I know that's where Peter says we have to obey God rather than men in verse 29, but he says it is better for one man to die than the whole nation shall perish or should perish. You know, in other words, kill Jesus because he's causing all these problems. Because if we don't kill him, the whole nation's going to die. You know, it's all pre-think. It's like, it's kind of like that that video I put on the site yesterday or this morning where that one woman, the cops came up to her door and threatened to put her in jail for something she said she might do. Thought police. And she didn't even say it the way they were saying it. And she got in their faces, got their badge numbers and yelling at them and everything like that, but that wasn't the right way to do it. But it was obvious they were just trying to scare her into submission because she said something on Facebook. And that's why I have a Facebook page on my website that says, don't go on Facebook. Get off there. It's dangerous. It was invented by the U.S. government. That's why, you know, what's his face? Zuckerberg is still all involved. He knew the power behind it. He knew that what he could do with it. Well, they got 2 billion people on there now. It's just amazing. So anyway, she goes on to say that from the fact that Paul had some of his companions... From the fact that Paul and some of his companions were of Hebrew extraction, the Jews felt that odium was cast upon them and that their own safety might be endangered. Wishing it to be understood that they had no sympathy with the Christians, you know, it was they had to make their point, you know, they thrust forward one of their own number to set the matter before the people. The speaker chosen was Alexander, one of the craftsmen, a coppersmith, to whom Paul afterward referred as having done him much evil. Alexander was a man of considerable ability, and he bent all his energies to direct the wrath of the people exclusively against Paul and his companions. This is the way it's always been. Just by the way the people attack us, the remnant people. They slander us. They call us a cult. They lie about us because they can't find any dirt. It's not that we're sinless or nothing. But, you know, the Lord has a hedge of angels around us to keep us on a good path, too. And so they can't really find anything, so they got to fabricate, like they did to Jesus at that illegal court when they got the okay to crucify him. But it's just, it's no different. They're going to go out there and they're going to just focus on us, but we're still here. And they're going to continue to do this, and it's going to get a lot worse in the coming days. And so keep praying, brothers and sisters. I mean, the Lord's watching us right now because the people that are going to be in the 144,000 are alive right now. And no, I'm not setting dates, as some false preachers and hate preachers are saying. I specifically state each and every time, I didn't set the date. The Pope did. He says he wants the climate change thing in 2027, and he said he wants one world government by 2030, and now Roman Catholic John Kerry's pushing it like nobody's business daily now, because he's the guy that's in, he's the one that's all about climate change. But he's not talking 2027. He's talking 2030. At first, I thought it was a slip of the tongue, but at the same time, I'm thinking, yeah, it's all just part of the same ball of wax. But the fact of the matter is, he is pushing 2030 because Satan's pushing 2030. Now, whether or not that's the year the Lord decides to split the eastern sky, that's up to our Father. If their date setting is wrong, then it's not going to happen in that year. But it could happen in the year before, it could happen in the year after. It's going to happen in our lifetime, though, because they're already setting the things up for the final approach towards enforcing the mark. That's the last thing prophesied. You know, the major thing, you know, everything that's involved in there all the way up to the time of Jacob's trouble and Plague 6 is, you know, it's all part of it. And the plagues only fall within a year, so, you know, we're looking at some amazing days ahead of us. And so, again, that's why it calms my heart when I look at all the crazy things that are going on, because I know if we're this close to the end, this is going to get nuts, and it's going to get a lot worse in the coming days. Boy, I'm really concerned for people that... you know, are still in the cities, because it's easy to sew you up there. You can't leave. You know they're going to say, show me your papers. Isn't that what Hitler did? This is all based on Mein Kampf, that book. Not that I read it, because I never had, but some people are saying that all the presidents read it, and there's instructions on how to control nations, because that was you can call it a dry run when it went down in World War II, whatever, when Hitler did what he did with the Jews and the Christians. And yeah, Christians. He was killing Christians, especially if they were black. The guy, you know, it's the Vatican. He's a Roman Catholic emperor, you know, and they literally said that. Well, I don't know if you saw this is an actual quote. Let me just go reminisce real quick, just for a second here, my blog entry for today. I'll pull it out so that it goes up on a, I don't know if I can zoom in on, look at that. Archbishop Stepanek said, God has given us Adolf Hitler. Oops, sorry about that. That little thing just popped up there. But anyway, there we go. But yeah, the Roman Catholic Church was all about Hitler because it looked like he was going to be global emperor and stuff. It was like a dry run, if you will. Satan obviously knew it wasn't a dry run. He was just using the Vatican like the... It's kind of this, you know, the way he uses these people that think they're all intelligent and all this other stuff reminds me of Kern, you know, where they're spending trillions of dollars to try to break into the fourth dimension, to try to conjure a demon. I'm going to say, man, instead of trillions, why don't you just go spend $20 at Walmart and get a Ouija board? It's a lot easier, because that's what we did as teens, right, back in the 70s. I'm sure the kids are still doing it to this day. But could you imagine the company? Who made that? I mean, is it like one of the companies that also do Monopoly and all the other board games? If they are, they got a big repentance ahead of them, or damnation. It's all their choice, obviously. So anyway, she goes on to say, but the crowd were in no mood to make nice distinctions. Seeing that Alexander was a Jew, and they thrust him aside, the uproar continually increasing as all with one voice cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. This cry continued for 2 hours. Yeah. That's just, you know. But anyway, she goes on. She says, at last there came a momentary silence from sheer exhaustion. Then the recorder of the city arrested the attention of the crowd and by virtue of his office obtained a hearing. In other words, because he was a highfalutin politician, they all shut up and listened to what he had to say. So she says, by his prudence and good judgment, he soon succeeded in quieting the excitement. He met the people on their own ground and showed that there was no cause for the present tumult. He appealed to their reason to decide whether the strangers who had come among them could change the opinions of the whole world regarding their ruling goddess. Said he, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter, which, by the way, today is called Peter? in the Vatican. You know, that's the one that sticks his foot out, and it's all smooth. It's a brass statue, and it's all smooth down where you can't even see the shape of the toes anymore because human lips have ground down that brass. Unbelievable. But yeah, that's who Jupiter. That statue was originally that false god Jupiter. And so, but anyway, he goes on. This guy, the politician, he says, seeing then that these things cannot be broke or spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. Now, here is, you can see satanic theology with the twist here because of the fact that Christians should be doing this. You know, like people, and a lot of Christians, especially the obedient ones, do in fact do this. When people get all up in their face and yelling and screaming that Jesus isn't really God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or the atheists that come out and say none of it exists, it's all just falderal, and says, yeah, well, okay. There's no reason for me to get all angry about it because I know you're wrong. 100% I know you're wrong. You have to meet Christ. They don't even understand when someone says that either. It's not that like one day I was in my living room and sitting down at the couch and reading the scriptures, and all of a sudden Jesus, you know, pops up in front of me and we start talking. No, because that's prophesied not to happen. I mean, it's prophesied to happen with the fake Jesus, though, and demons, of course. The thing here is they just can't understand when we say we have met Christ. I mean, we get all these amazing blessings from them and stuff, you know, answered prayers, you know, big ones, little ones, and sometimes it takes a while to get the prayer answered. We understand it. That's okay. You know, like we were talking about this the other night, in fact, the guy that was born blind and the apostles come up to Jesus and says, okay, who did sin, him or his mother and his parents, because he's born blind? And Jesus says, neither. That's not the reason for the blindness. The reason for the blindness is so that he can be glorified. And then, bam, he heals the guy, and Jesus is glorified. And some people would think, well, that's a little, you know, selfish, I mean, or mean or cruel. The guy, for all those years to be blind, says, yeah, well, in a couple of trillion years from now, when we're in heaven, hanging out at that tree that has the new fruit on it every month, ask the blind guy if it was an issue for him to be blind for 20, 30 years. He's going to say, oh, heaven is cheap enough. Just like what Sister White said when those people walked up to her in vision, you know, sitting by the bank of the river with that tree. And so, anyway, she goes on here. He bade them consider that Paul and his companions had not profaned the temple of Diana, nor outraged the feelings of any by reviling the goddess. In other words, they ain't changing our minds. You know? At least that's where he's hoping. And so it goes on to say that he then skillfully turned the subject and reproved the course of Demetrius. And then she quotes the scripture. It says, wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. In other words, what you guys are doing, it's just a waste of time. It's just like I said earlier. Protesting is a joke. You got to somehow get in there, but how are you going to get in there? And I'm not saying do like Ben Carson did, which is hopefully sinful. You do not join with the beast. But then, or the second or first, you know, but he did it with the, well, actually he did it with both, I would think. But the fact is, like the SDA Church with the 501c3, all of them with the 501c3, they've all joined with the beast. And guess what? Because of what George W. Bush said, and because of what Lyndon Johnson put in the 501c3 contract, anybody that has a 501c3 is considered a government agency. But it wasn't really locked in stone. It was kind of locked in stone on March 7, 2006, when Bush made it that executive order. It was kind of. But the preachers still didn't want to get out there and flap their gums on the pulpit in regards to politics because they were still fearful of the IRS, and so Trump made it law to where now they can say anything they want on a pulpit politically, and they got, you know, they have the ability to lobby religious laws now. But that's not my point here. The thing is, they are not just a government agency. They have to keep Sunday holy now. They've got no choice. Since May 19th, 1963, I think it was, 62 or 3, It was before Kennedy got shot, obviously, because he enforced. It wasn't, he signed the bill into law on May 19th, or, you know, 63 or 62 or whatever, saying the blue laws, where all government agencies have to be closed on Sunday. But did you notice Walter Beast's not talking about that? Doug Batchelor's not talking about that. Andrew Enriquez ain't talking about that, even though he's just got a 501c4. He's not tax exempt, but he's a government agency. He's not talking about that. He ain't going to bring that up. They can't, because now they're locked in stone. The only way to get out of that is to dump the contract. Now, here's the sticky wicket. This is how crafty Satan can get. Because I was talking to a guy a couple, 3 years ago. He wants to get out of the 501c3. And the IRS told him, says, yeah, no problem. Well, this also reminds me of the brother of the 3ABN owner, you know, the guy that got busted for molestation. He got a copy of my Image of the Beast page from one of his church members. He got all upset, went to the IRS and said, forget this noise, I want out of this 501c3. And says, all right, no problem, but you owe us back taxes for as many years as you were in ministry. And it amounted to millions with excise taxes and penalties, right? He says, all right, forget it, I'll keep it. But the other toss of the coin was, if you really want it out, and to avoid all that cost, you have to hand it to someone else. In other words, you have to condone them joining their church with the state so that you can avoid all the, excise taxes. I don't know. But I do know you can't get out of it unless you hand it off, which is just nuts. They're stuck. They're locked in. This is why they're running scared. This is why they'll avoid it like the plagues, or try anyway. You know, when you walk up talking about 501c3, they're going to do everything they can. Like what Doug Batchelor did, and I showed it in that one video. He wrote me a letter, and he wrote a brother in the faith a letter. And the only reason he wrote me the letter is because of the brother in the faith showed me the letter he got. He asked him about his 501c3, and his secretary literally stated in the email, because it was an exact duplicated email she sent me, because I says, okay, I got to double check this just to make sure. And so, yeah, she sent me the exact same email saying that whenever Doug is asked this question, this is how he told me to respond. He just, you know, more or less gave her a blurb. She has to copy and paste. That's it, right? He purposely left out verse 27 of that chapter of the book of Matthew, because that's where Jesus told Matthew or Peter to go pay the taxes. He told him, go fishing, get the coin, pay the taxes so as not to offend. That part he left out. They're going to do everything they can to twist reality around a lie, because they're stuck now. And so, the you know, the lawful assembly thing, this is how I got into that rant, or that dissertation, if you will. But the thing is, this is where it's headed now for all of them. They're going to have no choice now soon, especially when we go forth in a loud cry and start making it adamantly clear that if you're in a 501c3 church, doesn't matter if you're Ninth Hour Church or all the Protestant churches, don't matter now. If you're in a 501c3 church, you got to get out of there. Because by law, your pastor has to keep Sunday holy. I mean, they haven't said it yet, just like they didn't do back in 1954, and it wasn't until 2017, on Sabbath day, no less. Talk about, you know, doing their best to blaspheme our Father, or to try to upset him anyway. Trump signed it on December 2nd, 2017. Look it up. That Sabbath day. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. He did it on Sabbath. And so, because it's all about, you know, Sunday laws. Because we all know what that's going to lead to. They're all considered government agencies. Bush said it with his own lips, and I have it on my Image of the Beast page. So anyway, she goes on to say that he closed by warning them that such an uproar, you know, without a lawful assembly, raised without apparent cause, might subject the city of Ephesus to the censure of the Romans, thus causing a restriction of their present liberty, and intimating that there must not be a repetition of the scene. Now, Rome's got the same power today. The first and second beast, okay, they work together hand in hand, but look at all the buildings. Look at all, this has been going on since they started laying roads in D.C. If you want a couple of satellite pictures, I could show you. Where the streets in D.C. are shaped like pentagrams, and the Masonic square, and the first, you know, physical drawing of Satan with the bunny ears and the stick figure body, the whole nine yards. It's all in the streets. You look from above, you see all these figures the streets are made into that. And then every single solitary government building isn't some little shanty. It isn't even a low level, like one or two story mansion. No, they're massive Roman architecture. Even out here, a little town near us called like 15, 20 miles from here, Fowler, Indiana. We used to live outside of that town, a couple, 3 miles outside of that town. But you go to their government, like because they're the county seat, right? And it's like massive. It's like it's only four stories, but if it were a regular four-story building, like if it was a regular building to where, each ceiling was 8 feet, well, then it'd be like eight stories because each ceiling in there is like 15, 20 feet up. Boy, I wouldn't want to have their heating bill or their air conditioning bill, now that you think about it, because you got a lot of, especially with heat, you got a lot of stuff you got to heat up before it comes down to where those humans are walking around. So, but because hot air rises, it's just gonna naturally go up, and so unless they put fans up there to blow it down, and they don't, and all beautiful wooden floors and nice railings coming down from the courtrooms and stuff, it's a beautiful building, but it's all Roman, and so same situation, especially when the 501c3 starts being enforced, when like we're emptying the churches, and then like Sister White says, the Protestant, including the SDA's preachers, are gonna seek the help of the government. Well, because they've already been seeking the help of the government by letting them not pay taxes. My personal opinion in regards to why he signed it in 2017 is because of just the demographic research or testing the waters. Especially with the SDAs, because you got to do it with the SDAs first, because the rest of the Protestants, they're all Roman Catholic off the hilt. I mean, they're no longer, they're even making the sign of the cross on their bodies, doing the Ash Wednesday thing, and of course they've been doing the Easter and Christmas and all that other fall. They're all for centuries, centuries, because it started early in the USA. But you got to start with the SDAs first, because they were the last ones to, anger the enemy of souls. And they're the ones, they don't care much about the Jews because they don't really have a dog in the fight, because they're more concerned with their own country, Israel. They prefer like dual citizenship kind of a thing, so they can go either way, even with diplomatic immunity. But the thing is, unless they're politicians, obviously, just the regular Jewish people down the road ain't going to get all that. But the thing is, they're watching the SDAs to see how easily how far gone the populace has gone. And so when you get those, like the Loma Linda preacher getting up there promoting homosexual marriage, telling people to vote yes, for I can't remember the, they had some bill that they were pushing, I think it had a 79 in it or something like that. Yeah, but the video is on sdaapostasy.org, and as well as them saying that Allah is God and that Jesus Christ touches the planet at his second coming. I mean, all these crazy Roman Catholic lies are built in. So now, why not sign it now? Because they already got them. Because it's, and people think, oh, the SDAs are never, ever, ever going to keep Sunday holy. It's just not going to happen. Really? Would you think a Jew would ever do it? Oh, no way. Please, the Jews even worse. Because they've been keeping Sabbath for, ever since, what was it, Isaac, Jacob? I'm thinking Jacob. Yeah, Israel. Abraham did, of course, but and the angels did before a Jew was ever even born. We already know that's in the Book of Psalms. But the thing is, they say, the Jews have definitely never... Well, the Jews have been keeping Sunday holy for, I think, 5 years, and they passed a law in Tel Aviv a couple, 3 years ago to legally break the seventh-day Sabbath. And so if they're going to do it, the SDAs are going to be a piece of cake, because the SDAs are already believing you can stay in an apostate church, even though the Bible says you can't, and Sister White says you can't. They're also saying it's no big deal that they have dozens of Sunday-keeping churches. The General Conference in writing said it's no big deal. So they're already set up. They're already going to do it. They haven't left now. They're not going to leave then. And when it comes, they're going to water down the big deal about the mark. They're going to say, oh, it's not really that. No, it's... I mean, look what they're doing now. Ted Wilson's up there saying there's nothing in the pipeline about Sunday laws. Nothing. I got thousands of articles when you said that. I had already had... we still have thousands of articles, but now we got more. But I did two videos on that statement alone. So getting back, she says, having by this And the reason I got into all that is because it shows here that Ephesus was under Roman rule, regardless. I mean, because, you know, all the roads lead to Rome at that time. It didn't hit 476 AD yet. That's when they fell. And so, but this is what's going on now. Rome has that control now, especially over the churches. And here's another thing. A lot of people don't get this. And I've seen preachers who actually seem to understand truth the way we do. They'll not only have a cross on their pulpit, which is just a Roman symbol of death, and it's actually a symbol that honors Baal. You know, we don't need it. We know what happened at Calvary. We don't need to have all that symbolism. You know, how can you forget somebody you... How can you forget something that happened to someone you love so much? And especially if you love him more than you love anybody on the planet, you know, Jesus. But a lot of people don't get this. Let me see if I could find a picture for you on... let's see. I'll just go to Google. Who cares? Okay, let me go to images. Probably going to be in here. No, there you go. Now, some people say, oh, it means in his service. I can't remember the actual Latin term. Is Lewis here? He'd know it. But anyway, then here's look at that one. That's the, you got the Ionic, and no, there's the Ionic, then the Phallic, then the, well, here they got three Phallics and one Ionic, three Phallics and one Ionic. The Phallic is, you know, like the Washington Monument or the spire in the Vatican, you know, that's the symbol of the man, the sexual part. And then the wavy one is the symbol of the woman because she's got curves. It's just, this is the one I use in my videos a lot. I've had that one. You know, I cleaned up the shadowing on my videos, though, because it was kind of messed up. But every now and then you'll see these, yeah, like this. Well, that's kind of crummy looking. Let me pop that out of there for now so I can get more room here. I'm going to try to find... A lot of these people don't realize this, but when I see it, and I see it in a church, you could tell right off that either the preacher is totally uneducated to reality, or he is in association with the Jesuits or a Jesuit himself. This symbol, the IHS, let me see, let me just see if I can get it on a cross. There it is. Okay, now you see a lot. Okay, by the way, that dollar sign, our dollar sign, is actually a satanic symbol. You can see the three sixes there too. But this is what you'll see a lot of times. You'll see it up there, the IHS thing, or a lot of times they'll put it with a circle around it because that's for Baal. And because there's this one that I see on a lot of pulpits. It's usually this one. Like a lot of these, because the Vatican actually has, like the Eucharist, they call it, the host. On one side it'll have the IHS, and on the other side it'll have something similar to like a generic looking scapular or something. It's a Roman icon thing, a Catholic icon thing. Let's see. Yeah, this one here doesn't seem to have. Oh yeah, there it is. I, H, and then S. But it's usually, I've seen this on, I just hit it. I've seen this one on some pulpits. And where I usually see this is like when they're having communion in the church, and they'll have like a table, and the table's got, you know, the communion wafers or the pieces of bread if it's a Protestant church, and then on the other side a bunch of cups of wine, and it's usually alcoholic, you know, it's fermented, which means it does not represent the blood of Christ, it represents the blood of the sinner, filled with sin, right? And so they'll drink that onto communion. They're having communion onto Satan, and they don't even know it, because he's the one about sin. But, this IHS thing, this is another one you see. Well, I already showed that one. That one shows up in a lot of graveyards. But it's a symbol of the Jesuit, the Roman Catholic Jesuit. It's their symbol. As a matter of fact, let me go to the Bonesman page here. I can't remember where I have it. RCC Exposed. Maybe it's in Horrific. I got to put it in Horrific. It's got to be in here. I made a video about this, in fact. No music. No, I mean, no. I didn't even have to talk. I just showed pictures. It should have been Horrific. Let me just go here. I'll show you how my little... Oh, that's the Contact Us page. Hit that one. Let's see. Papal Bonesman. Boy, did that upset people when I put that up. I think this is it. Right. Yeah, okay, there you go. See, I did a video on it right here. Okay, and it's rather graphic. Oh, I think this one has the IHS in it, too. No, there's the bonesmen on the bottom, the people, you know, with the. But check this out. This is the Jesuits that did this. Let me try to get to that. I think I got a stack of pics on the bottom. Yeah. Oh, there's John Paul II's casket, mercenary kind of thing. The letter M for Mary. Well, it's actually not for Mary. See these Masonic dudes. And then it's an actual trapezoidal coffin. It's something Satan told witches and warlocks. What? Really? Okay. Satanists, witches, warlocks, and just, you know, dabblers think that because of the shape of the coffin, it allows for resurrection by Satan. And, of course, and there's your pentagram that's built around it. Oh, here. Okay, good. Now, there might be kids present, so I'm not going to show all this. But when you get a chance, you might want to I'll put this in the text chat. Let's see if I can do it over here. Nope, I got to do it over here. All right. Didn't even go in. What? Okay, now where's my mouse? Okay, there it is. Okay, it's in the text chat there. Papal Bonesman. But how do I know the Jesuits did this? And this is, I'm just going to show you one picture, okay? This one. That's a chandelier made out of the bones of people they killed. And then you got children's bones and stuff. You got little, like little tail bones from little children and stuff. And it's just disgusting. This building is literally tens of thousands of skulls and bones. And to show how much pride they had in their work, I'll show you this first. They got that, you know, the spire, you know, with the Yannick and the phallic thing, even though they can't really do it with bones. They try it, and they do this, the burst here, right? And this is an actual Roman Catholic church, okay? But check this out. This will tell you who did it. That's their logo. That's the, you know, the IHS. And so... Well, I can see. How do they do the S here? I never really looked at that. Oh, I can't get it to... How do they get it to wavy like that unless they just busted a couple of bones or something and... Yeah, it's too pixelated. I can't tell. But there you have it. Yeah. Disgusting, isn't it? So anyway, going on, she says, having by this speech completely tranquilized... What? Yeah, having by this speech completely tranquilized the disturbed elements, the recorder dismissed the assembly. The words of Demetrius reveal the real cause of the tumult at Ephesus and also the cause of much of the persecution which followed the apostles in their work of promulgating the truth. This is our craft. This, our craft, is in danger. With Demetrius and his fellows, the profitable business of image making, it was endangered by the teaching and the spread of the gospel. And so they had to snuff it out, obviously, right? And so if you don't think they're going to be going after us when we go forth in the loud cry and to declare unto people the absolute truth, because with the latter rain upon us, we could preach it in ways that everybody, the prophecy says everybody will understand it, even atheists. Okay? Everybody. And so, in other words, the Lord's... They're going to have to make the decision whether they're going to get the mark in the forehead or in the hand. And if they get it in the forehead, they're in total compliance with keeping Sunday holy. Just think, okay, fine, you're right, but, you know, it's tradition. It's like, yeah, whatever. They're going to make up whatever kind of excuse they can. And then, of course, the right hand being where, you know, they're forced into it, because the right hand is your ability to buy and sell, is your ability to work, and it's ability for freedom. So if they grab the right hand and pull, that's considered force, and so the right hand in prophecy means that. And so anybody that says, oh, well, yeah, that's all well and true, I do believe you, but, you know, I got to buy food for my kids, or I got to keep the rent paid, or whatever. And they're just going to, you know, cave. And so, but they're still going to understand it, and they're going to know what we're preaching is absolute truth, and you know, it's they're going to do everything they can to try to shut us up, because when we do this, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to hear it and believe it. Because we're going to see what the apostles saw on Pentecost. But we're going to see it throughout the time we're preaching, anywhere we can, if we can get that big of a crowd. You know, because they saw, what, 3,000 people the first day? Or was it 5? So, but anyway, she goes on to say that the income of pagan priests and artisans was at stake. just like the income of the 501c3 money-hungry preachers that got the 501c3, ignoring the prophecy that a babe in Christ can figure out, but yet these guys are pastors, but because they love and worship money, they ignored the prophecy, got the 501c3 so they can make millions instead of thousands. Yeah, they're going to be upset when the pews start emptying, and so they're going to ask the government for help, and they'll get it because they're a government agency. So the income of pagan priests and artisans was at stake, and for this reason, they instituted the most bitter opposition to the apostle and refused to receive or investigate the new religion, which would have made them wise unto salvation. See how Satan works. So let's drop it here, because it really does pick up a whole new topic here, and I don't think I'd be able to finish it. Yeah, because, okay, so we've got a few pages before, so that we won't do this tonight. Where did I stop? 146. All right, so hope and pray that you were blessed. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Oh, and thanks, by the way, Brother Arthur and a couple of you others. Alex, too, does this, and a few others. You come into the chat room, you send me a private message. It actually is emailed to me. I don't know if you guys know that. I actually fixed that part of the server. But if I come into the chat room without checking my email, there's that we can have a back-and-forth conversation. Reminds me of the old bulletin board days, you know, where you can say something, and then a couple days later, someone responds to you. So, yeah, thanks for using the chat room the way, because that's kind of fun, you know, to have a back-and-forth like that. As long as it's not an emergency. If it's an emergency, call me. Everybody's got my number. And so please bow your hearts if you're on your knees. If you can't be on your knees, the Lord, your Father, your King, your Savior, understands. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us tonight again as we gathered into this the reading of the Spirit of Prophecy. And thank you for giving us an understanding of the utterance herein so that we can go forth and help those you send our way. And Father, thank you so much for every time we eat the good food, the clean foods, that foods that help us get healthier. You bless our minds, and to not only better understand the Scripture, but to retain it and share it with others. And so thank you, Father, for the way that works, because many people are being blessed there. And thank you also for opening up your Word, even if we've already been on a good diet, as I would think just about everybody in our church family is. And so thank you for letting even the babes that are coming into the truth realize that, wow, just changing their diet makes the Bible easier to understand. And so thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for blessing everybody on our prayer list, everybody that was mentioned in the text chat earlier when the service started. And thank you again for blessing us with a way to gather like this online with all our brothers and sisters all around the world. Thank you, Father. We offer this prayer and this praise unto you in the name of your precious Son, who is forever our King in our home kingdom, New Jerusalem. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen.